our tech guru, that's his name, Jesse Feiler, joins us this morning to discuss the passé world of megabytes and gigabytes and enter the new territory of terabytes and petabytes. Or is it peta? Is it peta?
Peta.
Petabytes. Yes, he will discuss disk storage and backup on the roundtable this morning, and we will be interested in it. Jesse Feiler provides consulting services to small businesses and nonprofits. He's the author of a number of books on FileMaker and Mac OS X, as well as on new technologies. And his new book is
FileMaker 12 in depth.
FileMaker 12 in depth. I pulled this from like a year and a half ago, and I wanted to make sure I had the newest book. So FileMaker in depth.
FileMaker
12.
Twelve in depth.
FileMaker 12 in depth.
It came out just a few weeks ago.
See, you're hard to keep up with because you're pumping the stuff out.
Well, they keep pushing from the other end.
His website is northcountryconsulting.com, so much of what we talk about, he will have articles and links on his website, and you can go just check that out. So sit back and relax and enjoy the segment, and then you can go back and do some homework later if you are so inclined. So, Jesse, thank you very much for being here. A delight to have you, as always.
Good to be here.
Storage is a huge issue, and I assume that it always has been, but we seem to be getting better at it.
We're getting better at it, and it's sort of time to take a step back and look at it, I think, because every year computing power and storage gets bigger, faster, and cheaper, generally. And we don't notice these changes all that much. I mean, we notice certain things. A few people noticed the iPhone when it came out.
Right.
But the incremental changes in terms of things like screen resolution, storage, and performance, we don't notice. But if you go back and look at where we were 10, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, it's vastly different. And one of the things that I've started talking to people about is that we have to do that step back and see how we have changed. It's not just the daily incremental changes or yearly incremental changes. It's a new world because of how far we've come from where we were.
I was thinking about this as preparing for the segment and realizing how little I know about the subject. But let us go back to the iPad or iPhone. When we are presented with purchasing such an item, we have a choice of a 16, a 32, or a 64, right?
And the units are?
I don't know. I don't know.
Right.
What is it? Is it megabytes?
Gigabytes.
Gigabytes. Okay, so GB.
Yeah,
GB. Okay. And so my question is, first of all, I never then know what I need. I always exercise on the side of caution and say probably a lot, mm-hmm. because I'm told from the people who sell them that the more video and the more audio and the more pictures that you do, the probably more that you want. My question is it like if you're cooking, a cup is a cup, right?
Mm-hmm.
And while perhaps the capacity of your bowl or your oven can increase, a cup is still a cup.
Mm-hmm.
But if are we seeing the amount of I don't even know the word. The amount of information, the amount of those gigabytes, getting smaller for things such as a photo or a song or a movie, or are those fairly constant?
The highly technical answer to that question is yes.
Okay. All right. So, did that make sense?
Yes.
Meaning, is that changing too? Is that so? It's getting smaller, and you can put more stuff into a smaller storage. Whereas then you can get more onto less storage space.
Everything is moving.
Okay.
They're all moving parts. You can store take a song or take a photo.
Right.
You can store that on a disk, and in its raw form, it is a certain size. But the disk on which you're storing it is now bigger than it would have been 5 or 10 years ago. So you can store more of them on that disk. That's the first moving part. The second moving part is that we have technologies to compress the image and to be able to reconstitute it so that, in the best cases, nothing is lost.
Mm.
So not only are you storing it on a device that is bigger than it was a few years ago, but what you have to store is smaller than it was because it can be compressed. And some of the most powerful methods of compressing data weren't feasible not all that long ago because they involved powerful computations. So in order to compress something, you had to run a program that would do this work of saving space and compressing it, but you needed a powerful computer to do that. So it all fits together. You have more space on your storage devices. Because the computers are more powerful, you can now compress the items and reconstitute them on demand so that you get the original image, but you have to store it in smaller spaces on a storage mechanism. So it's all moving.
It's all moving. How much should we really know? The average consumer, because it's moving and because it's changing and because you'll disagree maybe, but it's confusing, I think, for the average person.
Yes. I would disagree. I think it's confusing for everyone.
Okay. I mean, I know that 8 is less than 16, which is less than 32, which is less than 64. I got that.
and very well, too.
Thank you. But what that actually means, I do feel as though I am then using an amazing amount of trust in the person who is selling me whatever to know that I have enough of whatever it is. It's the same thing when you go and you order a data plan for your iPad, and you say, well, this is how many minutes you have, megabytes or whatever, that you have a month. Well, I don't know what that means.
Well, in practical terms of how to be an informed consumer in all of these things, there are a couple of things to do.
I mean, I just ask you.
Well, one thing to do, and this is what I actually do with data plans and with storage on mobile devices, is if you happen to have one of these things already, log on to the website for your vendor, and most of them provide the information, some provide charts. Look at your data usage over the last 6 months.
And I was stunned by how little I used.
So if you look at your data storage over the last 6 months and it averages around some number, that's probably a reasonable number to say you're going to use over the next 6 months. And you build something into that because you may be using more data. We know the trend of data is going up. So you may use more data. There's no question about that. So don't do it down to a fraction of a percent. But that gives you an idea of what you're using. You can look on, for mobile devices, you can look on the device itself. Or if you're synchronizing it using a personal computer, you can look at that and see how much space you're using. So if you see that you're using X amount of space for videos, and you feel that you have probably the amount of video that you want on that device, you may be adding video and you're getting rid of old ones, that gives you a clue of what to do. So the first way of estimating how much you need is to look at what you're using. The other way of figuring it out, if you don't have an account or you're just starting out, is in the advertising, you will see they do try to explain. And they will say, 16 is enough to store,
2,000 songs.
2,000 songs.
Yeah.
Or 3 days worth of music or whatever.
Right.
And there's a footnote that will say this is based on average song length, and all of that stuff. But it gives you an idea.
Your operas may vary and screw this up.
Yes. Not applicable to Wagner. So, but it will give you, that gives you some kind of reality check there.
Right.
And although then you have to look at what you're doing and get an idea. A friend of mine just bought a new computer and contacted me and said, how do I move 15,000 photos from my old computer, and it had been a shock to him that he had 15,000 photos. The shock, this is a very good friend of mine.
Yes.
The shock was that he only had 15,000
photos.
Oh, okay.
Photos. All right. That's a lot of photos, but it really isn't.
Sounds like a lot of photos.
It sounds like a lot, but I mean, in moving it, is that hard?
No.
Because I had a similar issue where I had all this stuff on my computer and I went to the Apple store and I was like, well, I want to move this. And they're like, oh, all right. Well, you just do this.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I'll do that.
And now, but there's another moving part here.
Yeah.
I mean, there always are moving parts.
Of course.
So we have the size of storage is changing. We have what needs to be stored is changing because you can compress it now.
Right.
And in addition to that, because particularly with mobile devices, we're connected to the web, the internet in general, and clouds.
Right.
So your music may actually be stored in the cloud and play from the cloud or moved on demand down to your device.
Now, I want to talk to you about the B word and the C word. The B word being backup, the C word being the cloud. So backup for photos is very important to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I assume it's important for music as well, but if I lose a song, I can always go get it again. I can't get the picture of my nephew's fourth birthday. So if I lose that, I'm screwed. So what do I want backup. So how do you do that with dealing with the storage issues?
Well, the first thing, the point that you made is absolutely correct. It's not just the difference between photos and music. It's anything that is yours, that you created, your photo.
Right.
That has to be treated treated separately from anything that is downloadable.
So if I made an iMovie or I made a mashup or whatever it is that I did in GarageBand or whatever program I have, I've created that. And that...
You're going to have to make certain that you have
it. I'm responsible for making sure that sticks around.
Yes. And what we used to say not too many years ago is, you know, if you've done something like that, as soon as you finish it, back it up to a diskette.
Floppy disk.
And at a rough guess, how many diskettes do you have in your home today?
Well, you know what I...
That have you used within the last year?
Yeah, well, now that's the issue. You know, for me, I like to keep... We have a... I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that our archive system here is kind of piecemeal. So I tend to want to keep a lot of the stuff that I have done, the interviews that are special to me, that I keep, and I put them on disk. And I just have... I have thousands of disks in the house that are somewhat cataloged.
Mm-hmm.
So that when someone like Mike Wallace dies, you can go in, go to W, find that disc and bring it out and air something. But how to do that in a more, because sure, saving it is one thing, finding it later seems to be a real issue.
Well, there are, believe it or not, other people have these issues.
Okay, good. Not alone.
There is a number of software products. The one that I use is Evernote, and you can go onto the internet and find it. And like many of these things, there are two versions. One is the pro version. Pro in this sense means paid. And the other version, I guess, amateur version or whatever, that means free.
Right.
And you can upgrade, oddly enough, from one to the other if you want to. But tools like Evernote, I refer to it as a center desk drawer, because most center desk drawers have stuff in there, you know, keys and, you know, some people use the top left drawer, but, you know, we all have those things.
All this stuff that you think maybe someday you will need for some reason.
Yes. The combination to a lock that disappeared 5 years ago, you know, all of this stuff. And with tools like Evernote, you can do that. You can put information and you can put attachments into it. And it sits there. You can catalog it. You can put it under Wallace, or you can put it under lost combination locks. Or, you know, you don't have to set up a database. Just say, I might care about this in this context. And you put it in there, and then it synchronizes with its own cloud. And you can have this on several devices. And everyone I know uses something like this, so that if there's something you want to keep, and it might be a photo, it might be an audio recording, you can just stick it in a tool like Evernote. It'll be synchronized. It'll be out there in the cloud, available on all of your devices. And then, so you've got backup and redundancy with tools like that. And there are many, many paid tools like that, too. So that's one way of handling. Get something that lets you categorize things by name or subject, whatever, and then use that as the tool for preserving copies of things.
And one of the questions that I always have, because you've alluded to it several times just in our conversation, which is it's ever-changing. So we have to keep up in that. Just because we put this in Evernote or whatever, mm-hmm. pick a program, that doesn't mean in 2 years that will be not the way to go.
Well, that's important. It's a lot of people, when you put data into something, it's very important to be able to get it out.
Right.
And a lot of people wind up with address books that they can't convert to another technology because you can't get your data out.
Right.
So that's when you're doing something that like this, that's always a concern, is making certain that you can get out what you put in. But the other thing is, on the disk side of it, which is that because we're using such larger disks now and storing more data, I think we're moving away from the concept of backup. We're moving towards a concept of safe storage that we can rely on. That if you store something somewhere, you can rely on the fact that you don't have to worry about a disk crash. So that's where we're starting to go. It's this backing up and manually copying files back and forth. It doesn't work for the amount of data that we're storing.
We get into a psychological trust issue, don't we?
I'm not qualified to talk about it.
Because, you know, you think, you know what I mean, though, right? Where you put something up there and you're like, all right, I'll assume it'll be there.
And that's where one of the things that's changing is we have new old technologies that are now available in lower priced versions, so that tools like what are called RAID disks, which are disk units that have in one configuration two very large disks that contain the same data. It's automatically written in two places at the same time. So if one disk crashes, you've got it on the other disk. So that sort of technology, which is out there now for well under $500, that's what we have to start thinking about. So instead of backing up this file and that file and the other, you say, I'm just going to put everything on my hard disk and I'm mirroring it or doing something like this. So I can trust that something I've put on my disk is going to be there.
Right.
So that's becoming very important now.
It's a fascinating subject. If people go to North Country Consulting, do you have stuff up there?
Yeah, I have something on the number, the amount of information that's in the world. And it's a very interesting paper. It says that the total amount of all information in the world, they've calculated somehow, I guess they counted, is less than the amount of information in a DNA sequence.
Wow.
I think it's a DNA, something like that. It's unbelievable. It's the last paragraph in this rather dense article.
But it makes the point that we just keep pumping the stuff out. We're creating. And we're not really editing it. We're not deleting anything. We're just adding to it.
Yeah.
And we want to keep it for whatever reason.
Because you're tiptoeing into this psychological area.
Yeah.
Again.
I'm good at that. Jesse Filer provides consulting services to small businesses. His new book is FileMaker 12.
FileMaker 12 In Depth.
And you can find out more information on his website, northcountryconsulting.com. It's always a pleasure to have you here.
Good to be here.
Thank you very much.